If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Mike's side with Charlie Romeliotis from NBCSportsChicago.com. I am Pat Boyle. What's up, Charlie?
What's going on, Pat? We're in this locker room at MBI Arena right now. All the music was going to play on us.
Yeah, so if there's a little echo, understand that we are in locker room one here at MB Ice Arena. All right, so we are taping this on Wednesday after the Hawks took care of Anaheim 3-1. It's the second time this season, Charlie, that the Hawks have held their opponent to one goal. And who's been in net for both of those? Corey Crawford. Look, you and I have been on top of, you know, his return, you know, since he stepped on the ice here at MB Ice Arena. And I think best case scenario, we thought like he'd round into form sometime in November. I did not see a goalie win in his second start and another really good performance in his third. Your thoughts on just what we've seen from Corey so far?
Yeah, this is still kind of crazy to me to think that he's missed essentially 10 months with a concussion, and he's literally still one of the best goaltenders in the league. And we talked to Jonathan Toews just now and he said, if I missed 10 months, I wouldn't know which hand I shot with when I came back. You know, so it's unbelievable that Crawford has come back and he looks like he's still an elite goaltender. And it's important for the Blackhawks, obviously, because they're still one of the league leaders in giving up those high-quality chances. And Crawford masked a lot of those flaws last season. So to have him back is obviously huge in that department because it's still a concern for the Blackhawks.
Yes, and nowhere was that more evident than on Sunday night against Tampa Bay. Both teams playing the back end of a back-to-back. The Lightning throw 33 shots on goal in the middle frame, an NHL record. Look, Cam Ward was fine. The three that got in that period were kind of weird, fluky, side of the net, puck not frozen, guys jamming at it, and it, you know, goes over his shoulder. It was bizarro world. But, like, here's my question. Do the Hawks have an issue against teams that are fast, or was there a lack of overall team effort on Sunday?
I would say a little bit of both. I do think they're – because they don't have that – top line that's continued to roll, it keeps rolling, and they don't have that depth scoring to kind of match up with a team like Tampa Bay or teams like, you know, Toronto at the beginning, and so but at the same time I do still think that there's maybe a little bit of lack of effort, but I think it goes back to, because they don't have that depth, they're asking a lot of the top guys to log heavy minutes and things like that. And obviously it wears on your body over the course of an 82-game season. So I think it's certainly an area the Blackhawks are going to have to shore up.
We saw on, Tuesday night, I think probably their best complete effort as a team. And it was a great start in that first period. And, again, they had three, almost four full power plays in that first period. So that maybe helped the great start. But Brandon Saad was put on Patrick Kane's line with Anisimov. Now, his goals weren't scored with Patrick on the ice. They were special teams goals, the first one to get things going. But I thought it was really an important game for Brandon, who's been through, I'd say, quite a bit here in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, so in that game, he actually was on the ice for only one shot attempt against at 5-on-5 for the first two periods. So he played a really solid game with Patrick Kane and Artem Anisimov. I do still think it really comes down to Brandon Saad's urgency and effort on that second line. He might not be the player to play with Patrick Kane that complements Kane well, but if he's driving hard to the net and he's going to the greasy areas like we saw in that power play goal, it was a second effort opportunity. And he finished with 9 shot attempts, and 7 of them were on goal, which was a season high. So if he's generating that kind of shot, that amount of shots, that high volume of shots, like, that line is going to be fine. And I think if he gets going, like, the balance is going to trickle up and down the lineup.
Well, it also breaks up Schmaltz and Kane. And with this current makeup of this roster, I think we would agree that chemistry-wise, Kane and Schmaltz have something. You know, they it started at the end of last year. They worked on it over the off season, and we've seen flashes of it when they're on the ice together. So to put Saad on that left side and knock Schmaltz down to the third line, you know, that's a big division to do that, to break up what seemingly is the best wingman for Kane. I don't know if long term that's the right answer.
Yeah, I imagine we're going to go back to seeing maybe Schmaltz get put into that second center line position with Saad and Kane at some point down the line. But I do think they're trying to, you know, they moved Saad to the fourth line and the third line, and they kind of flirted with him being a healthy scratch at some point to kind of get him going. And now I think this demotion for Schmaltz to the third line, and he's playing right wing, so he hasn't played right wing in the NHL, but he has in the past. I think this is more of they're trying to get him going too, because Joe Quinn will talk about it when we asked him about Schmaltz going to the third line, and he said, you know, we're kind of looking for more there. Like, it wasn't more like we're not concerned about it yet, but it's still like we know there's more there. So I do think at some point we're going to see Schmaltz and Kane together, and they're going to be, they obviously get power play time together, and they get a lot of 5-on-5 time together when they are on a line, but They're certainly trying to jumpstart all of their top guys so they can all be clicking at the same time.
We're going to get more into Alex DeBrincat in our next segment, but I just want to touch on the captain. I thought he had another excellent game on Tuesday night. Yes, he had the turnover that led to the Anaheim goal. I think part of that was the positioning that Gustafsson was in. Maybe needed to be a little closer to the blue line for a better angle. That being said, I think, and we talked to Jonathan Toews a short time ago, the work he did, the edge work he did, his cutbacks, it's really his balance. It's a completely different player than the one I've seen the last 2 years. And a lot of that he attributes to the off-season workouts he had with, was it Brian Kane?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and it certainly made to me, it seems like it's made an amazing difference to 19's game.
Yeah, and you look at the first 8 games that they've had this season, he's not going up against, you know, he's going up against Ryan Getzlaff, Austin Matthews, you know, he's going up against these elite centers. And, you know, they, again, versus Tampa Bay, you know, Steven Stamkos and Braden Point, and you know, they're loaded at center depth. So it's not like Jonathan Toews is doing this against, you know, favorable matchups. He's doing this against top-line competition. He looks faster, and he's not doing this on the power play either. It's coming all at pretty much at even strength, which is encouraging, because that's refs tend to swallow their whistles in the playoffs, and that's how towards the later stages of the season, toward the second half, we're going to see penalties go down and things like that. So that's when it's going to matter most, is when you're producing at 5-on-5 and even strength, and Jonathan Toews is doing that right now.
Coming up on the Hawks Talk podcast, what was Alex DeBrincat thinking squaring off with Josh Manson? And we talked to Patrick Kane, who made an adjustment with his stick. We'll tell you that next on the Hawks Talk podcast.
Get all of your Blackhawks news in the palm of your hand with the My Teams app by NBC Sports. The best place to stream the games, watch highlights, read articles, and more. Download the My Teams app today.
Welcome back to the Hawks Talk podcast with Charlie Romeliotis. I am Pat Boyle. All right, let's get into the bizarro world from Tuesday night, seeing Alex DeBrincat and Josh Manson I'll say square off, mix it up. Nothing really happened, but the thought that DeBrincat would even think to tango with a guy the size of Josh Manson is somewhat not mind-boggling.
Yeah. So Connor McDavid came into town during his rookie year in the OHL, or it might have been his second year. It was right before, it was January or February of 2017, so DeBrincat wasn't in the NHL yet. And Connor McDavid obviously played with DeBrincat at the Erie Otters in the OHL. And I asked him, I remember, I was in I think it was me and Scott Powers were in a little scrum talking about DeBrincat with Connor, and he said, DeBrincat is one of the feistiest players I've ever played with, and there was at one point in the OHL that DeBrincat went into the corner and started, jousting at a guy that was 6'5", and Connor McDavid looked at him and he was like, I'm not going to help you, because what's Connor going to do, you know? So, yeah, DeBrincat is, I don't think the Blackhawks have ever seen that side of him, but I think they internally knew it was there. So to see Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and Eric Gustafson the other day and Joel Quenneville all react to that was really funny. And we actually got audio from Jonathan Toews talking about Alex DeBrincat saying, I don't know.
We're going to toss to it right now. Here's DeBrincat, here's Toews, here's Patrick Kane and Joel Quenneville, all on the topic of DeBrincat, feisty cat, going at it with Josh Manson.
I don't know. It wasn't just him. It was, everyone on their team was, doing little things behind the play. And I don't know. He just hit me there, and I just got pissed off. So I went back at him. I don't know. There was, probably nothing specific he did. I think it was just kind of, I was getting frustrated, and it happened.
It's one of those things where you just want to stick up for yourself and make, enough is enough.
Yeah, I think, at some point you can get bullied around, and, that's not what I wanted to happen. So just trying to, stand up for me, and, hopefully he doesn't do it again, I guess.
In juniors, did you ever have a tussle with a guy where there was as much size discrepancy as we saw last night?
Yeah, maybe not as much, a few inches smaller, but 5-6 inches, definitely. I think I got into maybe 3 fights in juniors, and they were obviously all bigger than me, so. I don't know. It's not something I like to do, but, I get frustrated sometimes, so sometimes it happens.
I think I'd blame Kat for getting that one going, getting in the scrums, and unfortunately he was in there against two guys that are twice his size, and no one was helping him out, but, it's nice to see he was ready to go, and, everyone wanted to play harder and play better out there, so he was a good example of that.
Did it take you by surprise a little bit?
Yeah, I guess so. I saw the replay. It looked even worse than I remembered. So.
Have you ever seen that side of Alex before?
Not really. He's told me he's gotten a couple fights in junior, so didn't really believe him. But I think we're all kind of thinking, what's he doing going after Manson here? But I don't know. He's kind of like got that feisty part to his game. So that was... I don't know. He's just kind of hoping he doesn't get hurt and doesn't get himself into a little bit of trouble. But, he was in the moment. Sometimes your emotions can take over. So it was fun to see.
Different weight class, yeah. He's competitive. I mean, he just had, he's in that situation. Things can happen.
Well, he says he's gotten into a few fights in juniors, but he said nobody, never a 50-pound weight difference.
Yeah, was it 50?
So some pretty funny stuff there. We heard Q when he was asked giving up 50 pounds, he goes 50, maybe more like 80 to 100. You know what, it to me just shows you the determination of this guy, and I just marvel. So DeBrincat and Kane have registered points in 8 of the 9 games. DeBrincat is such a smart player, gets that shot off. He's not overly fast. The shot's not overly, it's just like, he's just, I think his hockey IQ is off the charts. And he always seems to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, his patience with the puck and his composure is Patrick Kane-like. Like, at the front of the net and making decisions. Like, there is never a panic in his game. And it reminds me of Patrick Kane. Like, we saw that goal Patrick Kane score, I think it was against St. Louis, where, you know, he was just dragging it to the slot, waiting for an opening, and they shot it, and it, you know, had a wide open goal. And it just reminded me of, you know, like, I saw that in Alex DeBrincat and over the course of an overtime period, and he's out there for three-on-threes and things like that. And it's like, this guy that's 5'7" is out there in a three-on-three overtime against some of the best hockey players in the world, and he's not only keeping up, as he's flourishing in that opportunity. So, yeah, he's been magnificent. I don't know if I really could have envisioned this even this year. Like, I know we thought he was going to take that next step, but, like, he is, like, becoming an elite offensive player in the NHL.
It's not crazy to think that paired with the right person, I mean, this guy could put up 40-plus goals.
Yeah. I mean, he's – well, we were thinking about it. Like, Austin Matthews scored 10 in the first, what, like, six games? Like, and then there was the bait, like, oh, like, can he get 50? Well, it was like, he's almost halfway there, you know? And DeBrincat's almost, you know, almost that he scored – I think he scored six goals in his first 18 games last year, and he still finished with 28. And he's already at, what, seven through eight games or whatever. So, like, he's almost he can for sure flirt with 40. I just think he's not going to be able to do this all at even strength. He's going to need to start getting some power play goals for him to kind of flirt with that number. But I wouldn't run it by him.
All right, let's get into the Erik Gustafsson shot pass situation. He sets up Patrick Kane for the game winner on Tuesday night. It was he did a shot pass thing against St. Louis in overtime, setting up DeBrincat with the game winner, much closer and different, but all along the shot pass thought. There's so many things to like about what that particular play does. I mean, it starts with net front presence. And John Gibson, who had a great night last night, you know, trying to respect that shot. I mean, it's all in the cell of the slapper. And he winds up like he's going to take it. And you look at Gibson, he's out on the top of the paint, respecting the shot, trying to look over a guy that's screening him. Well, there you have 88 set up at the right circle, below the dot, well below the dot, from a tough angle, you know. Ice a little chippy at that point, and the pass is right there. And as Kane said, you're just trying to square it up. You know, it's not necessarily you're picking a – you're just trying to square it up. And it's a part of Kane's game that's evolved, but the shot pass that Gustafsson has shown so far, it's a nice wrinkle and just shows the value that he has on the back end on the offensive side.
Yeah, there were so many layers to that play that were so impressive. It was, I'm pretty sure it was a no-look pass from Gustafsson too, because I don't think he was ever looking at Patrick Kane, because we asked Joel Quenneville in the press conference, and Joel asked Kane and said, did you yell at all for that pass? And Kane was like, I didn't need to. Like, he knew I was there. So it looked like a no-look pass by Gustafsson, and the way that that Gustafsson got it, put it on Kane's tape, like it was nothing. Like, it was such a cross-ice pass. It wasn't even like, you know, a mini, like, from face-off circle to face-off circle. It was like top of the blue line to like bottom of the face-off circle. And I think an important part of that too was Patrick Kane. Like, you followed up with the angle that he had when you were asking him, and I thought that was a great moment. Like, John Gibson didn't even. He froze, like, because he was like, well, even if he does for John Gibson, for sure was not expecting a pass. But even if there was a pass, I don't think he thought anything of Patrick Kane converting that one.
No, ever. Well, because he's on top of the paint. So think of how much net is open there. Like, if that shot's coming from, you know, 15, 20 feet closer, he's not that far out. You know, he's a little more deeper in his crease, and you're able to go post to post, or in theory, for the cross ice pass easier. But when you're out on top of the paint, like he was, to cut down the angle, respect the shot, it leaves quite an opening of the 4x6. But, you know, the degree of difficulty of the one-timer, I don't think people really realize how many times 88 never misses that. And I watch other NHL games, and similar plays will happen, and guys shoot it completely they foobar the entire net.
Yeah, it's I've played hockey. I'm not a great hockey player, like obviously, but like one-timers are way harder than it looks, especially with a puck, not a ball. Like I'll play floor hockey outside, and I think, oh yeah, it's easy to do with a ball. But like with a puck, it's like absolutely insane, because if you whiff, like you're not getting a lot on it. So I think overall with Erik Gustafsson, I wrote about this today too, is he's been so confident with the puck, and he always has been, but we saw him take over games in Rockford when he got sent down there for a year and a half, and now we're seeing him translate that to the NHL level, where he knows he's a top four defenseman, and dare I say, his contract is now looking like somewhat of a bargain, you know, because he's adding this top four layer, and he's probably going to be their leading scorer at the end of the season, defenseman-wise, and he's going to be doing it at $1.5 million. So he's adding a really different dimension to this hockey team, and I think it's obviously huge, because they didn't get this production from their blue line last season.
Let's talk about Patrick Kane. A slight change in his equipment. He altered his stick. I asked him about it on Wednesday, and he said it's happened like four or five times in his 12 years, but for the last 5 years he's used, you know, the same stiffness in the shaft and hadn't altered the blade at all. This year he did change. He's at a 95 flex?
Yeah, he went from a 102 to a 95 flex, I believe, or was it 102 and then 97? And then I know he's at a 95 now, 95. And I think that's the lowest he's ever been.
Right.
And for reference, like, I mean, so obviously the higher the number is, the stiffer the shaft, and the lower the number is, there's more flex. And I think Austin Matthews has got to be one of the lowest in the league at like 87 or something. And so like for Patrick Kane to go down to 95, like that's a significant difference. And what did he say? He wanted to get a better grip on like stick handling and backhand shots?
Well, so like one thing, you know, his stick handling, when he uses a stiffer shaft, he feels he has better feel for the puck. He also said like when you're in the corner, you can kind of lean on things a certain way when the stick is more stiff. The flex helps out with the wrist shot, obviously, and a slightly whippier, and much like, you know, a shaft in golf, you know, it's about club head speed there, and it's a similar situation with the release of a shot. So it's finding that right happy medium where it doesn't take away from the stick handling and the feel that he has, that he loves, and then also adding that, okay, this may help me get off a wrist shot a little bit quicker and with a little more pace behind it.
Right. The thing I love about players like Patrick Kane, and we saw it with Austin Matthews too, how he just completely revamped his shot this season, because these players are already the best in the world at what they do, and they're looking for an incremental difference to be even better. You know, so like Patrick Kane changing up his stick shaft that he's used for years, like he's only changed it up, what,
you four, or said times,
four or five times?
In the last 5 years, he hadn't changed.
Right. So, like, that's mind-boggling to me. And it's not like he had a bad year last year, that the Hawks just kind of, the wheels came off at midway through the season.
Well, I think it shows the technology too, right? I mean, you think about golfers are constantly changing drivers, constantly changing clubs and shafts and trying anything out there. And with these composite sticks, that's, you know, where we've come. There's always something out there to try, and we know that 88's the rink rat. He's gonna try it. And I'm sure he tried Austin Matthews' stick and like wondered how he could play with that whippy shaft when they were down in Tampa together.
Yeah, he said Austin's was way too whippy for me, and I can imagine that. But yeah, I still think it's a little bit early, a little too early to tell whether it's paying dividends. Obviously, he's one of the leading scorers on the Hawks, and he's up there with the league leaders in the NHL. But there's such high scoring going on across the league that it's hard to tell. Like, water's eventually going to find its level. It's just a matter of when. And I think it would be a good follow-up to ask Kane how he's progressing with this new stick, because he did say he was still trying to get used to it.
All right, it's a hectic schedule for the Hawks. They have got the Rangers on Thursday night, and then they have back-to-back games this weekend. They go to St. Louis on Saturday. Your thoughts on like you in the scrum today, you were talking to Taves, and I thought it was a great point. Like, as good as the start has been, they're like, up until last night, they were the 8th seed in the West. I mean, everybody seems to be getting points at this feverish pace, and it's hard to keep up with the Joneses. It's crazy to think we're talking about standings in late October, but with the uber competitive Central, that's kind of where we're at.
Right, and I don't think necessarily my question made it seem like I was asking him if he's scoreboard watching, but I was more like, are you looking at the standings on a daily basis? Because the Hawks pick up 2 points and they move to 5-2-2 on the season, and they're still in a wild card spot because the Central Division is so loaded, and teams like Nashville and Winnipeg and Colorado and all these Central Division teams are just picking up points on a nightly basis. And it's not just, you know, a point or two. It's like they're all picking up points. So it's like the Hawks have had such a great start. Eventually they're going to lose 3 in a row at some point, you know, or go through this difficult stretch where they only pick up 2 points in 8 games or whatever, or in 2 out of a possible 8 points. And they might be on the outside looking in. And so it's like, it's mind-boggling to me that like every game matters. Like, we're sitting here, it's still at the end of October, and like every point matters. And we know at the end of the season, when we look back on the year, we're going to look at some of the games that, oh, well, they missed a point here, they missed a point here, and that's the difference.
All right, I got to give a shout out to the folks that listen to this podcast on a regular basis. You sent me an email last week that broke it down by country, and this was only like 2 hours after we had released it. We're huge in Australia. The kids love us in Australia. England was huge. What else? Give some shout outs to the countries and these loyal Hawks fans that are downloading this podcast each and every week.
Yeah, so it's crazy. So obviously a majority of our listeners come from the United States. We get some from Canada, but we also get some from Norway, from Jamaica, from Croatia, Malaysia, Brazil, Netherlands, Ireland, Peru, Republic of Korea. Like, all of these are insane. And this was just the first day of the podcast.
Can we take the podcast on the road to some of these locations? Because I would like to be there.
That would be amazing. It would basically be like, I don't know how we would do that. Would we have like a U or like a truck and like?
Well, we'd have to fly, Charlie. So the truck, I don't know how we could rent a truck.
We would ride a ferry boat and bring an RV and bring like. Remember when Chris Mortensen used to go? Matt Mort goes to camp. We could just do that and hit up all those countries.
All right. Well, so thank you so much for your loyalty. We will continue to bring you the Hawks Talk podcast each and every week. Hey, don't forget to download the My Teams app from NBC Sports Chicago. Great way. Now, here's the deal, and I got to be full disclosure. We just give shout-outs to all those countries. You can only download the My Teams app in the United States. Sorry, don't blame Charlie. Don't blame me. That's the deal right now. But check it out. I'll tell you what. If you got a kid that's got sports and they've got a game on a Thursday night and the Hawks are playing, that My Teams app will be your best friend. You can watch the game streaming. It's almost real time. It's like within 30 seconds of real time. So it's not like you're going to have somebody next to you like, yeah, did you see Kane just had a hat trick? And you're like, he hasn't scored yet on my stream. No, it's almost real time. So check it out, the My Teams app. You can get it at the Apple Store or Google Play. That is a wrap for this edition of the Hawks Talk podcast, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. For Charlie Romeliotis, I'm Pat Boyle. Thanks for listening, and go Hawks.
If you travel for work, you know to pack 2 suits, business and swim. You know, with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.